Never before has the leader of the free world been so cognitively compromised. It's clear, to me at the least, that US President Joe Biden is struggling with dementia and is clearly not up to the task he's been sworn in to do.
Wow. So this guy hosts a television show in Australia. He's a former politician, Cory Bernardi, and he's just, you know, calling it like it is. It's kind of funny, too, when you hear it with the accent and everything, because, you know, there's not a lot of enthusiasm there the way he says it. It's just pretty straightforward, but maybe that's how it has to be, right? He makes the point, interestingly, that he thinks it's awfully strange that Kamala Harris was the one calling all the world leaders. He's like, what was going on? Was Joe Biden taking a nap? That was sort of bizarre. And then he makes the point that it was just like one thing after another when he got out there and did that town hall with Bidenista, his words. I got a kick out of that. Bidenista. That would be Anderson Cooper out of CNN. Anyway, so he does this town hall and he kind of just keeps stepping in it, right? You know, first talking about how the Uyghur population and the tragedies that they've been through and what China puts them through is kind of a cultural thing. And then, you know, making a few more faux pas along the way. We don't know exactly what's going on with Joe Biden. We know he's never really seemed like the sharpest tool in the shed. I mean, year after year, frankly, I mean, you can go all the way back to his law school records, right? The guy barely graduated. So I'm not necessarily thinking like intelligence, right, is tippy top of the list. But you do expect a certain presence. And to see him, for example, call a lid. Call a lid means when, you know, they shut everything down. No more reporters. You can go home, everybody, because there's nothing else happening here today. They called a lid on Thursday at 8 a.m. I mean, what is this, like a snow day in Washington, D.C.? So the fact that he calls a lid so frequently now, he did the same exact thing, by the way, on the campaign. And he's turning so many important duties over to his vice president, Kamala Harris. It kind of leaves you wondering really how involved he is. I don't know what kind of health problems he has, but I think it's been very clear over the years. You can go back and listen to all the crazy tape. He has a hard time articulating his thoughts. Anyway, we got a lot more coming up because there's all kinds of things going on. You know, Donald Trump is going to be making his first appearance actually at CPAC next weekend. So we're going to talk about that. Is he going to run in 2024? That's the big question. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is out there telling the whole world it's no more America first. Wow, that's one way to put it. Joe Biden making his international debut, you could say, at the G7 summit on Friday, declaring an end to the America first agenda of his predecessor. No more America first. What does this mean? Is America last? Is that the idea? The speech was closed to the press, but White House handlers were out there telegraphing, and they like to point out, with so much pride, how there's this total shift in tone. And they point to that we're rejoining the World Health Organization. That's a big thing for Joe Biden. You know, don't forget this organization, by the way, has come under so much fire because it gave China a total pass for any kind of role China may have had in the spread of coronavirus. They're like, yep, no, nothing to see here. Why? Well, China backs them, right? China gives them all the money. So that has something to do with it. Meanwhile, Biden is also rejoining the Paris Agreement. So that's something that his team touts. And importantly, President Biden is now also insisting that the U.S. re-enter its nuclear agreement with Iran. So, yeah, America first, it no longer is. When it comes to foreign policy, we've got a whole different arena that we're operating in right now. And you know, look, I mean, the obvious thing to say is he seems to think America last is better than America first. I just question what kind of commitment we're going to see, if any, to trying to preserve America's status in the world. It actually does matter. Look, Obama was a disaster for the U.S. on the world stage. And then finally, we had 4 years where it seemed as though we were really leading. And by the way, not involved in any new wars. And now what's going to happen? So I don't like the idea of America last. I'm sure you don't either. And I've never seen the America first symbol as something that they have tried to make it. To me, it's pretty obvious, right? You want to put the rights of your citizens first and foremost in your agenda and on the world stage. That's what really, really matters. Okay, coming up, everyone. Is mortgage debt getting so crazy that it might lead to another subprime crisis? Some people are talking about that. And is President Trump back on the scene? Will Donald Trump run for president again? That's what a lot of people are asking. You know, they don't want him to. The left has tried to get him out of the arena for good twice now. Twice they have impeached him, and twice he has been acquitted. So now the 45th president of the United States, enjoying some golf, enjoying some retirement, is going to get up on stage in Orlando, Florida at the CPAC conference, which is kind of like, you know, the Super Bowl for conservatives in the political space. So he's going to make that his first public appearance since leaving the White House. We really haven't heard from him much. He called into a couple of TV shows, but, you know, he hasn't been on Twitter. We know why. And he hasn't spoken publicly, you know, on a stage like this. So it'll be very interesting to hear what he has to say. Any criticism he may have, I'm sure there's going to be some, of the Biden administration. But a lot of people are wondering, is he going to run again for president in 2024? It's clear that he's making his voice already be heard in terms of 2022. There's a kind of vetting process, allegedly, that's going on at Mar-a-Lago, where he's talking to candidates that are trying to run for Congress and to get their feel on whether or not they would back his policies and his agenda. So we'll see. I mean, there's a good week between now and then. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him back in the arena. So the question is whether or not you've got a united enough Republican Party that would back him, or whether you'll see this splintering, as you've already seen, right? Evidence of that is Nikki Haley sort of tries to form and forge her own path. And as you know, you still have the Mitt Romneys and those folks out there that want nothing to do with him. So again, we'll see. Don't forget, CPAC was actually where he kind of launched his political career. He spoke there for the first time in 2011. Coming up, a lot of questions about mortgage debt. It's going up and up and up and up. And you got to wonder, I hope we're not going to see anything like we saw in 2008 again. But still, the numbers, some say, are alarming. I'm on it next. Have you been watching home prices? I mean, they are just skyrocketing. It's really hard to get real estate these days. Like, things are just going right off the shelf, right? Multiple offers, all that kind of stuff. Unless, of course, you live in New York City. Because if you live in New York City, you can't get rid of this stuff fast enough. But elsewhere in the country, you're really seeing this drive out into the suburbs and a diversification of Americans all over the country that are seeking bigger homes, more land. And of course, money's cheap, right? Really, really, really cheap. Mortgage rates, dirt cheap. I just refinanced. You would not believe the kind of mortgage rate you can get right now. It's just amazing for a 30-year fix. People want bigger and bigger homes. So, you know, hey, why not borrow more? They're thinking. It's kind of like the U.S. government when they're saying, hey, why not get a 50-year bond? I mean, you know, you lock in these rates while you can. So it makes sense from a consumer perspective. But what's really interesting is you're seeing, I think, for the first time, a real substantive shift in consumer debt. Within the last year, we've seen this total rotation out of auto loans, education loans, and into mortgage debt, certainly out of credit card debt, which is really good. Credit card debt has really declined. And that's because people have used some of their stimulus money to pay off that debt. And they're trying to really replace it with good debt. Mortgage debt, right, is typically seen as the good kind of debt. Wow. Well, let me share those numbers with you, because we've got $14.6 trillion in total U.S. household debt for the latest quarter. So it's rising. But what's amazing is in the last 3 months, you saw mortgage debt top $10 trillion. So the bulk of that debt really is coming from mortgage debt. Now, like I said, not necessarily bad. I mean, in the scheme of things, you'd rather have mortgage debt, right, than credit card debt or auto loan debt. Heck, even education debt, given what education is offering these days in some of these college campuses. Nonetheless, there's some question out there among some people about the credit quality of these mortgage loans that are being extended to so many Americans. In other words, can these borrowers really afford the loans? There's a political push, you see, to really make sure that more and more people are able to access capital. And that's, in theory, a good thing, unless those people really can afford this. And so you want to make sure, if you're the bank, right? And frankly, if you're the legislator, if you're the politician that's overseeing some of this stuff, you want to make sure that people are not taking on more than they can afford, because that's what happened in 2008. That's what we went through. It's been there, seen that, done that, and we do not want that movie playing out again. So I would just watch these numbers. Again, right now I'm not concerned. I think it's actually healthy that people are moving increasingly into mortgage debt and out of credit card debt, out of auto debt, out of education debt. Nonetheless, watch that number, $10 trillion in the last quarter. What's it going to look like next quarter? And at some point, you might start to worry about this being a little bit frothy. Okay, that's it for today's podcast. Make sure you go to trishintel.com. Make sure you sign up for my emails. Make sure that you download and subscribe to this podcast, because it's hard to get the truth out there every day, but you know I'm committed to doing it, and I'm not going to stop. I'll see you tomorrow.